It's time for our big Friday interview, and it's maybe not as much time as normal, but I tell you what, this is a story that you really will want to hear, because Dame Stephanie Shirley fled Nazi Germany as a child, went on to become one of the UK's most successful businesswomen. After getting a degree in Maths, Dame Stephanie made hundreds of millions of pounds as a pioneer in the computer industry. And then she became one of our greatest philanthropists, giving away over £100 million of her personal fortune to good causes. And I'm delighted to say that we can speak to Dame Stephanie this morning. Dame Stephanie, or Dame Steve, as perhaps I should call you, but we'll explain
right.
a little bit more about that later, perhaps if people are confused. But it's lovely to have you on the programme.
Lovely to be here.
I mean, first of all, you've written a book called Letting It Go or Let It Go. And this is about an amazing story of how you accumulated this tremendous amount of money through an awful lot of hard work and effort, but you seem to be getting more joy in giving it away. Your story, though, starts off, and a lot of credit probably has to go to your mother, who did what has to be described only as probably the most courageous thing that a mother could ever do.
I think in the anti-discriminatory days, of Nazi Germany, where we were living, it was the most loving thing that any parent can go to send me off on so-called kinder transport to strangers in England, thinking never to see me again. But 10,000 children arrived in Britain during that time, and I'm a survivor. I've tried to make that traumatic childhood pay, in that I know that I've got to make the life that was saved worth saving. And I've become accustomed to change. I know that tomorrow is not going to be the same as yesterday, certainly not like a fortnight ago. And I really work to make sure that my life is something good. It may sound a bit sort of pious, but a refugee has turned into a businesswoman, a woman in business, of course. The stimulus to my philanthropy is partly my traumatic childhood, but partly also because my late son was autistic. And so mainly I support autism projects.
What was it like being away from your family, not just away from your family, but away from your family during a world war? Did you ever expect to see them again?
No, I didn't. But of course, the young children are to a certain extent protected. And we were, my sister and I, were fostered by a wonderful British couple in the Midlands of England, who brought us up as they would their own. And we were doubly lucky because we were later reunited with our birth parents and all of us got through.
What was that like, that moment of reunification?
Well, we had been in contact. My father, for example, was interned in Australia as an enemy alien. And we had some difficulty because we were classed as German, and people didn't seem to realise the difference between German and Nazis that Britain was fighting. When we married, for example, a lot of my now in-laws didn't want to attend the wedding because, he's marrying a German.
Whenever you obviously grew up in England, you went into work in the post office research, you know, to think that that's maybe where you developed a knack for figures. And then you go and you set up a software company. And this was probably a time, I assume, whenever software was probably given away. I mean, the idea of selling software was probably a bit weird.
People laughed at me, Joel. Not only a woman in serious business, not just running a cafe or something, but trying to sell software at a time when it was given away free. You can't sell software. But I had the feeling that it was going to be important. And really, it wasn't to make money, though I did eventually make a lot of money. It was a crusade for women. It was a company of women, a company for women. It was a company to provide opportunities for women to work from home combined with domestic responsibilities at a time when women were just leaving an industry that really needed our skills in large numbers.
And as you try to make your breakthroughs, some doors you find are closed to you. And as I referred to you, should I call you Dame Steve? Was it your husband came up with the idea of perhaps, well, if many of these clans don't want to deal with a woman in business, maybe you should sign off your letters as Steve instead of Stephanie?
Well, I certainly wasn't getting much response to my business development letters with that sort of double feminine Stephanie Shirley. So I started signing them Steve, and I sort of quite like that, also known as Steve. And I've become Steve for the rest of my life.
And your breakthrough, it came, you got many big contracts. You were working with British Rail, you were working with Tate and Lyle, and you... get to the turn of the millennium, I'm told, as the second most wealthy self-made woman in the UK from
well,
Little
I was
Acorns.
Trailing Her Majesty the Queen at one time.
That's an illustrious company to be in. I wonder, does she know about you? I'm sure she does. Are you prouder of the fact, though, that maybe you've given away 133 million than the fact that you actually made 140?
Well, your numbers are going up all the time. I made 150 or something like that, and I've given away so far 65. I've also lost a lot of money because people remember entrepreneurs for our successes, but we've also had failures, and I was involved in the dot-com bubble in the, what was it, 90s, so I lost a lot of money there. I was somewhat embarrassed when I appeared on the UK rich list. You know, we don't like to talk about money and how much we've got, and I didn't want people to know that I was giving it away. But now I'm prouder to have given it away and fallen out of the rich list. That's how it should be.
So how has giving the money away changed you?
Well, I'm certainly enjoying more than the time I spent 31 years in business, which I did enjoy, which was very stressful. And in a sense, learning to give money away wisely is more difficult than making it, because you want to give it strategically, by which I mean that if the projects that you support or set up and support are ones that really make a difference, you're not just frittering it away with £50 here and 5p there. So it's focused on the things that I know and care about, which is the two things, information technology and autism. And in the autism, I sort of started off with a support service that really supported my own son, who'd been 11 years in an old-style asylum because he was very, very profoundly vulnerable. Then a school, then Autism Cymru to bilingual Wales, where people with communication difficulties have even double difficulty. And I've become really more and more strategic, so that currently most of my funding is going into medical research, into the causes of autism.
Do you look back at a moment and you say that was the moment when I decided that I should start giving this money away? I mean, was there a specific reason? Was there a specific moment that sort of the bolt of lightning strikes you?
No, I don't think there was. I think even in childhood, I knew that I'd been so lucky. So, you know, okay, I was the victim of bigotry and cruelty, but I was also had been supported by a whole host of strangers who'd set up the kinder transports, who'd educated me, who had really given me so much. And it seemed to me that there was no option but to start giving back. And, of course, to begin with, I didn't have any money, so I gave back in terms of time. I gave back in terms of blood. There are all sorts of forms of giving, but volunteering, I think, is very important. And then when I did have some money, I started giving that back, and the intention is to give it all away.
Because I was thinking, just briefly, because we're running out of time, but, you know, we see the programmes, you know, the likes of Secret Millionaire and the effect that it has on the people who give the money away on a much smaller scale. You know, you've done that to a much larger extent, but you probably can relate to how they're feeling, the joy that it gives them.
Well, I think the joy is really to the person who gives as much as the person who receives. I don't like that programme very much. I was invited to go on it and said no, because I felt it was a little bit patronising. And I've been patronised myself. Aren't you lucky to have survived?
Well, Dame Stephanie, I have to say, I don't have any money to give away, so I don't think they'll ever be calling me. But it's lovely to talk to you. Thanks
Thank
very
you
much
very
for
much.
Taking time.